Night falls, at last, in the city of Varlanay, taking with it the last dim gasps of the short winter's day. The city does not sleep, however, the sounds of daytime crowds and activities simply taking on a different atmosphere as the street vendors, carousers, and those of a more nocturnal nature make their presence heard. From where you're standing, Miriam Booger, your immediate view is still of the loading yard at the rear of the Opera House, its unmelted snow crisscrossed with footprints and the grooves of carriages, but no sign, thus far, of the doppelganger Marianne and her entourage. You do, however, have a pleasant view across the roofs of the nearby buildings as lights and lanterns are lit, underlighting the smoke of hundreds of chimneys, doing their best to keep out the winter chill. In this exact moment, then, what would you like to do?
I think Booger will turn to Miri and kind of lament a little bit. Well, it's not looking like anybody else is coming. No sign of that doppelganger. I don't want to dash our hopes too soon, but I'm starting to become a little bit concerned here that we don't know quite what's happening and it might descend on us soon.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to watch an opera. Not really looking forward to it, but
nothing wrong with a bit of culture. Come on, that's surely the upside of all of this.
I mean, yeah, but we're still on duty, or the clock, or whatever, as it were.
I won't really be able to appreciate it truly without having full concentration, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Especially since we saw that the king has such an, unobstructed view from the stage, so that would be really... really bad. I wonder if we should keep someone up outside his box or something.
I think that's prudent. I don't know that his guards will be up to the job.
Yeah. I doubt they're gonna let us waltz in there though, so we need to do some fast talking of some sort. But I'm sure we could do it. I believe in us. Yay!
Yes, and Miri I believe
pulls
in us too.
Tiny pom poms from somewhere. You don't know where that came from.
I'm glad you're so enthusiastic. I'll try and put my doubts to the side. Let's go and find our other compatriot, and maybe we should decide which of us will do what going forwards. It's almost showtime. We're going to have to let that actress out of her room soon.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So leaving the stage door then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the two of you head, I guess, to the outside of Marianne's dressing room then, which is where you believe Kirik was. And do they still find you there, Kirik, or is this have you made a mysterious disappearance? I don't want to imply anything. I just the way I set that up myself.
I didn't know that a mysterious disappearance was on the table.
As I was saying it, I was like, why am I introducing doubt to this? Like, this is definitely where Kirik is.
Well, now Kirik is down the hall a little bit, but no, he's still in front of the dressing room.
Right. Okay.
Hi, Kirik. That's any action on your part and anything happening around here? It's been very boring over by the door. We've been dealing with these haughty actors coming through.
Oh no, it's been pretty quiet. She was crying a little bit. Oh, I don't know why. I didn't interrupt, but.
I mean, a lot's happened, right? So,
true.
I think you probably would have seen the arrival of Corey, because his dressing room was kind of the same side as Marianne. So you would have seen him come into the corridor. I think he probably would have given you a kind of hey as he passed, and then just went into his own dressing room without really stopping.
You saw the fancy boy come in, and yeah. That was, I guess, the last of the, really, of the cast. So I think it's about to start, probably.
So what's our plan? What are we going to do?
Well, we were thinking one of us should take up a post somewhere en route to where the king's going to be situated so we can block off, potentially head off anything there. Beyond that, I suppose somebody in amongst the crowd might be an idea, perhaps in the aisles at the back.
Yeah, somebody should probably stay with Miriam. You know, there is still a possibility that she could be in danger.
Very true. They could be waiting in the wings, just waiting to catch her just before she goes on.
Yeah, because, I mean, and Mira gets this really, like, confused look on her face. You know, I guess there's possibility that the king wasn't the target or something, because, I don't know, we're not quite sure.
So, who would be the target?
I'm not sure. I mean, we didn't see any Miriam doubles show up or anything like that, so we don't appear to know as much as we thought we knew.
Well, you haven't seen anybody arrive so far. I mean, you have now all walked away from the door, so I mean...
Like, guest-wise, we haven't seen anybody?
Well, you haven't really seen any guests, but you also haven't really been in the public areas, if that makes sense. Not recently, you know.
Yeah.
Not since you first came in, or... Booga was in the main auditorium, I think, in the afternoon, but... Yeah.
Yeah. How long until the actual show starts?
Well, it's funny you should ask. No, at this point, you see Horace coming down the corridor towards you. He's put a suit on now, like a quite nice sort of tuxedo looking.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good, you're still here. You can see him sort of trying to sort of compose himself and put on like a what you think would probably be like a more professional face and get rid of the last of his his stress. Well, we're opening the doors in 5 minutes. There's we're expecting carriages and such to be arriving soon. There's a cocktail reception for an hour, and then everything's due to start. Have you found anything yet?
Sadly, not.
Not yet. Maybe we should go out and mingle with the crowd in the lobby just to see if we see anything.
You see him kind of appraise you and your armor and stuff, and say, it's a bit, it's kind of a black tie affair. Do you have any other clothing? What's not to judge or anything, but this is a little bit out of the ordinary for these kind of dudes.
Yeah, that sort of makes sense. Is there a place that we can look at the audience, or you know, look at the crowd from where they can't necessarily see us?
You could observe from the mezzanine. I mean, I have a good view overlooking the bar area and entrance hall and everything. I mean, you're not going to be truly hidden, but I mean, this place isn't designed for that.
I feel like we have sort of three different places to be. Watchful. What do you guys think?
Yes, and I suppose it's just a matter of deciding who goes where. I think I would like to volunteer for guarding the passage to the king. If nothing else, I can certainly pose an intimidating block in that respect.
Yeah, okay. That sounds good. Kirk, do you want a chance to mingle with the crowd?
He very visibly pulls a face.
Okay, I will do so. I'll do that. I probably will blend in any better anyway. I mean, no offense, Kirk, but you're kind of noticeable.
Not any more noticeable than a cat.
Fair.
But no, I understand what you're saying. And then he turns to Horace. Do you have any costumes this one could use?
Oh, yeah, we got plenty of costumes, yes. Oh, right this way. And he sort of gestures and towards the kind of costuming room, I guess. It's not a closed door or anything. It's kind of... It's more of... The whole area here in the backstage is kind of like a bit of a warren of kind of like walls that don't close off complete rooms. It's just sort of like partitioned out and everything. And the only kind of main sort of closed off rooms are the actual dressing rooms themselves. So yeah, he's able to direct you to a sort of area where you do see that a lot of the like the chorus and the dancers and that are already, it's quite busy in here. They're already kind of getting into their initial costumes, and there's a lot of bustling kind of backstage crew and costumers, I guess. Is that the title? I think But yeah, the costume department are very busy getting ready for the start of the opera itself.
Well, would you be able to help our friends here? They find themselves underdressed for the reception. It's quite a sort of haughty looking elven lady. Kind of looks down her nose at you. Yes, Horace, I think I should be able to help.
Mary looks down at her chainmail that looks like it's come straight off the docks.
Yeah.
With, like, tatters of seaweed and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know what you mean. I think I look perfectly fine.
That may be, but not for this setting, I think. She turns and starts sort of ruffling through. There's all kind of racks of clothing and everything. Mostly the ones that are out are those for, like, this performance tonight, so she discounts those straight away and sort of sizing you up. I have several options here. You're presented with a few different kind of fancy clothing options, I guess. I mean, what would be Miri's preferred if she if she had to go to a fancy soiree? What would be her preferred sort of outfit choice, I guess? Because we can pretty much accommodate that, I think.
Okay, just I don't know, like a fancy, maybe fancy tunic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely not a problem here. We can definitely do that. So still kind of like slightly practical, sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She really doesn't like to be like. I'm very tempted to have you put her in like a frilly pink dress, but
we can handle that as well if that's the choice.
I feel like that might be. How about like a really pink tunic?
Okay.
Or like a blouse or something.
Yeah. Sure, no problem. So yeah, it takes a couple of minutes of her sort of pulling items from different places and such, and then she manages to put together an ensemble, which definitely is probably more appropriate for a fancy cocktail do that the king might be attending than your armor.
It looks like it was pulled out of the water.
Yeah. You're handed an outfit and ushered to like a sort of changing cubicle.
I want to keep my chain shirt on. So I was thinking if I could get something that was like diaphanous enough to put over.
Sure. Yeah. My chain. Yeah, no problem. There's quite a sort of flowy kind of, I guess, puffy shouldered sort of high neck kind of thing that, you know, you just about managed to pull down over your armor and your chain mail at least. And it's a look.
Yeah.
As you say, pink and... Did you say you wanted a like, kind of pink and frilly?
kind of frilly, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's that around like the arms and things. And there's only a little bit of chainmail sticking out from underneath it. And that you think you could probably pull it off.
Okay, cool.
Looking good over there. A very inconspicuous.
I like the pink.
Thank you. Thank you. Mira kind of like wrinkles her nose a little bit.
So yeah, you're the only one going to the function then. Was that the decision? Because you sort of
I'm gonna mingle with the crowd and try to like see if I can hear anything suspicious or fun or
yeah.
Before we break off, I think Booga's going to just gather us up and just I think we should probably figure out a signal word for if one of us runs into trouble or spots something. Anybody got any suggestions? A noise? A word?
We could yell fire.
No, I don't think that's legal. No.
Yes, a panic might not be the best thing in that moment. We don't want people running all over the place necessarily.
Oh, just something that's not, yeah.
Something simple. It might be a bit strange, but maybe just shouting chicken or something strange that would be a little bit out of place in the play, and we'll notice it, but people will just wonder what it is and maybe get back to whatever they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So just the word chicken. We're not going to be, like, clucking like a chicken.
Well, no, I wasn't thinking that, but... And I suppose in the heat of the moment, if I hear that, then I'll know.
What would it sound like if you all were making chicken noises, just for curiosity's sake?
I think that's mine.
I'm just going to yell the word chicken.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Definitely sidestep there. And on that note, we will divide and go in our direction, I guess.
How is Booger feeling about being the one who is dressed fancy and everything, but is not the one attending the fancy do?
I think looking around the room full of costumes, he's been kind of like feeling at the slightly worn edges of some of his kind of finery.
Hmm.
And is wondering, like, oh, it's kind of a shame I couldn't get some of this, but it would be a little bit much. Maybe afterwards.
He's going to come in and raid the costume department instead of...
Yeah. He's got to get some kind of reward, maybe.
Yeah, fair enough. You've got your eye on a particularly nice, neckerchief.
A nice ruff.
Yeah, something that you think would really set off your ensemble a little bit, and, yeah.
Well, I feel like I might turn to the customer and say... You know, Booga is supposed to be in the hall. He's supposed to look like someone who's supposed to belong there. So he needs some fancy clothes too.
Is that so? Okay. Starts rummaging again, and you get sort of a kind of overshirt type thing. First, just get up to her, but as you pull it on, you realize this, that she sized you up quite well, and she's not like putting you in a security outfit, but. It sort of it blends you into the background, I guess, a little bit. You feel like this will do quite nicely, and you've still got your eye on the neckerchief, and she kind of clocks you eyeing it up and sort of sighs, and then goes, and this as well, and sort of wraps it around your neck, and it really it suits you. You think?
Oh, much appreciated. Yes, that'll do the job nicely. No questions asked.
Maybe beams
asked,
like
sure.
The sunshine.
Much.
She's like, look, it's snappy.
Yep, it'll kind of tug on the jerkin or whatever the hell it is that he's got on.
Yeah.
Stand proud for a moment. Well, time to get to our duties.
In the meantime, while you've been in here, Horace has kind of excused himself, you think, to go and open the doors and begin welcoming patrons to the Opera House. So, things are very much getting underway.
I guess we better go to our places. So, break a leg.
Best of luck. And remember, chicken.
Chicken.
So, did we establish where Kirik was going? Because we got Booga kind of... Booga's on the royal, VIP area, kind of sort of watch. Miri's mingling. Where was Kirik going?
I think Kirik is going to stay backstage and try and observe things.
Okay.
So he'll just try and melt into the shadows a little bit and, stay out of everyone else's way, but still there.
Yeah, yeah. There's definitely a hustle and bustle here that, you probably, even if there wasn't, you think anything going to be going on, you probably want to stay out of the way of.
Yeah.
All right, then. I guess, Booga, you're able to find your way up to the kind of, sort of, corridor area where the entrances to all the VIP boxes are.
Mm-hmm.
You begin to hear from the kind of far end of the corridor the sounds kind of filtering up from the entrance hall as people begin to enter the building. As you head up that way, you can see that this corridor is kind of roped off, very nice velvet red rope. It's not only the King's Box up here, but there's about four or five others along this corridor that are also accessible along here. But you're able to kind of find a place to stand that's not going to be like super conspicuous, I guess, where you can sort of stand and look like you're meant to be there as like a sort of as an element of security, I guess.
Okay.
But there's nobody here at this moment, I would say.
I shall stand guard then.
Yeah. Okay. Miri, you make your way into the kind of entrance hall area. There's a sort of bar along one side, which is it's quite large. There's a couple of staff behind the bar who are seem to be sort of very busy and are already kind of pouring trays of drinks, in anticipation of people coming in. The main doors have been opened by ushers, and Horace is sort of stood in the kind of entrance area. And he begins greeting patrons as they come in. Everybody is very well dressed. There's a lot of, tuxedo type get up and things like that. And a lot of very, very fancy dresses and things. And this looks to be the sort of the well-to-do of the city have come out for this. you can kind of see out through the doors there is a line of coaches that have kind of pulled up in front of the opera house, dropping off people and such. A few people are just kind of walking up, but they're also, as I say, quite well dressed. But are you sort of just staying in this entrance bit, or are you heading to what are you thinking here?
I think I'm gonna follow like the bulk of the people. If mm-hmm. most people are sort of staying in the entrance, I'll stay there, just kind of walking around, see if I can hear anything exciting, interesting.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, most people are kind of staying in the entrance. There's a lot of drinks being served, and you can see there are waiters going around with sort of canapes and things on and trays and that. It's very much like a sort of reception kind of atmosphere here, you know, it being opening night and this being quite a fancy setting. People they're not just coming out and going straight to their seats in the auditorium. This is, you know, part of the whole deal. You know, you come here and there's the mingling hour and people sort of slowly begin to filter into the auditorium over the hour, is, you know, but this is a time for socializing as well, you know.
I kind of want to see if I can, I don't know, I guess overhear anything of note, if anyone's talking, or look for people that are sort of suspicious.
Okay. What are your criteria for suspicious, I guess?
Like, I don't know, speaking like in hushed voices, kind of like trying to stay away from like the rest of the people. I don't know, just kind of like acting like they don't want to, I guess, be acting like they don't want to be here.
Okay. Can I get a perception check for you then? I mean, this is sort of general perception check, because you're sort of doing a few things here. You're kind of you're sort of eavesdropping, but also keeping an eye out for people and such as well.
It is a 16.
16. Okay. You're not seeing anybody straight away who looks like they don't really want to be there. At this point, it looks like pretty much it is, you know, you're getting the vibe quite straight away that this is quite an exclusive event. There's an atmosphere of kind of like anticipation, and you very much pick up the vibe of like, oh yes, good to be here on the first show of the season. You know, there's a sort of social, there's a social currency that comes with, like, of course, we're able to come out for this, and then, you know, this isn't going to be the only performance of it, but like there's some sort of there's a bit of a kind of prestige that comes with, like, oh, of course we go out to opening night and everything, and you know, there's a lot of you pick up sort of excited chatter, talk of like, oh, of course this is the first time this one has been put on, this is the telling of the Demon War, and oh, my father fought in the Demon War, well, our servants fought in the Demon War, my father told them to, of course, and you know, that's a lot of rich people talking.
With a 16, can I tell if anyone else is like watching?
I think you would notice that there are sort of attendants and some other security people who have maybe come with some of the patrons who have kind of doing a little bit like Booger's doing. They've escorted their charges to here, and they're kind of keeping a wary eye, but they're mostly sort of staying, they're being as unobtrusive as possible. I'm not talking like fully armored or anything like that, you know, they are wearing, it's similar to Booger, like outfits that would not be out of place at a, you know, in a do like this, but are very much not. You kind of pick out these people as you're walking around as like, well, these aren't talking to anybody, and they're clearly keeping an eye out and such. But then they're not giving off a vibe of like, I'm here for nefarious deeds. You're kind of clocking them as security people, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. So I'll just, I guess, mingle around and try to look as unobtrusive as possible, and I'm gonna move with the bulk of the crowd, you know, so when lots of people start walking in, I'm gonna sort of just filter in.
Yeah You're kind of moseying around, you're picking up little snatches of conversation, and you hear sort of I've been trying to get tickets for this for years and things, you know, little bits of kind of NPC dialogue as you're walking here. Somebody, you hear someone say, did you hear about Baron von Glau? Got fully cleaned out his vault. Terrible thievery going on in that part of the country. Wouldn't catch me going out on the peninsula.
We should probably have you roll to see how well you're kind of blending in with the crowd and things, I guess.
I guess roll a... well, would this be performance or stealth?
I guess stealth, I think, because, I mean...
Yeah.
You're sort of trying to blend in. You're not really putting on a performance, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, give me a stealth roll.
Okay. Oh! That is a nat one!
Oh, dear.
Okay.
So you're not there for very long before this sort of older gentleman with kind of like a sort of wispy beard and a monocle and a walking stick sort of stumps up to you. He looks sort of very, very kind of wizened. He's got a suit on and everything. He's not wizard robes, but yeah.
Hello, young lady. Who are you supposed to be?
I'm just, you know, I'm here to see the opera, sir.
Oh, quite. I haven't seen you at any of these soirees before. New in town, are we?
Oh, yeah. I just got in last night.
Ah, well. Where do you hail from?
You know, around. I'm a patron of the arts, I guess you could say.
Oh, glad to hear it. My family have been, patrons of this, the opera house here for many generations now, and, yes, it, warms my heart to see, some of the new faces and the younger generation partaking in the arts.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of takes you by the arms and, he sort of doing, he's sort of steering you around, like pointing to various, I guess, like carvings and things in the wall, paint, you know, small kind of paintings that you think are sort of.
So of course, this was donated by my grandfather, and that, and he's kind of,
you know, you're not getting a bad vibe off of him, but it's more that like you didn't blend in enough to not have somebody try and you know, chat to you. And,
I feel like with the net when I'm doing that thing the cats do where they're like, I really don't want to be here.
Yeah.
But like, I'm not, I don't have my claws out yet. I'm trying to push away from you.
Yeah.
Tail is definitely twitching, irritated.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I have this look in my eyes, you know, this 1,000-yard stare.
It's just sort of, yeah, it's, he does not picking up on this at all.
No, of course not.
And again, like I say, he's not, I want to stress, he's not being creepy or anything like that. This is just, he's quite, this is an old, like, no, old kind of noble, nobility kind of guy who is, like, clearly not used to picking up on people's.
Yeah.
Or even possibly caring about what people.
Just some, you know, old rich dude who's like. You must want to know about me.
Yeah, why would you not? You know, exactly. So he's just going to... He's kind of... He's almost on autopilot, kind of talking about, you know, how... Well, he's sort of talking himself up and his family up, really, as like, oh, of course, you know, we're big supporters of this. And, you know, he's dropping in lots of humble brags and things like that. And, mm-hmm. Yeah. But he's kind of monopolizing your attention a little bit for some time.
Yeah. I feel like I'm not going to see anything while I'm with him, so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you could totally try and get away, but I'm just saying, like, if you don't act, this guy has kind of got your attention for a bit.
Yeah. I think Miri doesn't want to be too overt about trying to get away because she feels like this guy is going to sort of make a fuss if she just, like, bolts.
Yeah, you don't want to cause a scene.
But yeah,
he's kind of leading you around and such and chatting away, and he does introduce you to some other people who will also sort of seem to be in a, let's put, like they have a social standing that you would never have dreamed of kind of thing, you know. This is the sort of like, oh, okay, this is the person that town is named after and that kind of thing. There's kind of, but they're all kind of like old money, like no conception of what, you know, you very much pick up on the class vibe here of like, oh, they don't know what real life is like at all, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're still able to kind of earwig a little bit and kind of pick up kind of scraps of conversations here and there, but nothing really stands out to you in terms of like
good, all these people here. Soon we will. Yeah,
you're not picking up yet again. We're not picking up any monologues.
No evil villain plots.
No. after about 25 minutes or so, you do kind of sense a bit of a kind of energy and a sort of commotion in the crowd, and then there is a sort of parting of the crowd a little bit, and you're able to kind of... I just realised Miri's only about 5 foot, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you're able to kind of crane up, crane your neck a little bit to see that a very well-adorned, gold sort of trimmed carriage has pulled up outside.
Oh.
As you kind of look around and kind of crane your neck and stuff, you're able to see that on the door of the carriage there is the royal seal.
Mm-hmm.
The door of the carriage is opened by a footman, and first stepping out of it are two fully armoured guards. What looks to be a dragonborn who stands about 6'2". Doesn't appear to have any kind of weapons on her, but he's like, I'd say it's full plate armour. And kind of scanning around, looking across the crowd. And next to her is a half-elf who has what looks to be a quite ornately carved bow slung over her back. Full armor. Both of these sets of armor are very intricately carved, and they've got kind of blue inlays and etchings on them and everything. You would guess these are the royal guards are, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This is very different than the level of equipment that you saw on the gate guards when you entered the city via Westgate. You know, this is some fancy gear these guards are wearing. And say they kind of scan the crowd and before turning to the door and nodding and stepping from the carriage is an older gentleman. It's tough to gauge age, because he's obviously lived quite a well looked after life, but he's definitely sort of older. He's grey hair, he looks in early 70s, and has a small crown on his head. He's wearing robes, not too like ostentatious really, but they're very well tailored. He's not got like a cape on or anything like that, but he's, you know, in a very nice set of clothes, and there are sort of oohs and ahs and a sort of smattering of applause from the crowd as he sort of raises one hand to give the sort of like a royal wave, I guess, is how I can. It's the classic like rotate at the wrist kind of.
Yep.
The wave kind of thing, and this appears to be the king, who begins making his way up the steps into the opera house. Following him from the carriage are three other individuals, which not a surprise to you, because if you remember, there were four chairs set out in the royal booth.
Mm-hmm.
There is a dwarf, again wearing quite well-made, well-tailored robes. He's got a great big bushy beard. It's impossible to say bushy beard without doing the hot fuzz thing.
Gotta be done.
Yeah. He's got a large grey sort of flecked kind of brown beard and slicked back kind of hair, which is tied into like a ponytail at the back, who is chatting to a human who sort of seems to be wearing kind of priestly robes of some sort. You don't recognize him yourself, but you do recognize the symbol of Bahamut on his there's like a holy symbol kind of around his neck, and the dwarf says something to him and starts laughing uproariously, and you see this human sort of kind of blush a little bit. I guess it was some kind of like off-color joke about something or other that doesn't go down quite so well with a priest as it would maybe with somebody else. And following behind is a not like an attendant, but they're a sort of, I guess you get the feeling of like, I don't want to say secretary, but like a kind of administrator, but like a vizier type person following behind, who's a female half-elf who is again dressed nicely and is going out for a night of entertainment, but you get the feeling is there also to be in case the king needs something sorted as well.
So Do I, by any chance, recognize any of these people? Or would I know who they sort of are?
Not, you don't recognize any of them straight away, I don't think. Just based on I guess the circles that Miri would move in, I don't think.
Mm.
I mean, I asked this for Kirik when we got to Valane, but has Miri been to the capital before? Is this, you know?
Yeah, I don't think Miri's really been to the capital. Miri pretty much, she lived in a small fishing village, and so she's been out on the water most of her life.
Mm. Okay. I would say probably not then. You could hazard a guess. I mean, this, based on like the ornamentation on the dwarf's robes and that, he might be like an ambassador or something from the dwarven underrealm. Okay. Which is, you know, it's part of the nation, but they kind of got a little bit of their own autonomy.
Yeah.
You know, friendly relations and everything and all that. Same with the elves, they've got their own kind of deal.
Yeah.
The priest again, the priesthood of Bahamut are very prominent in the sort of clerics of the land kind of thing. They're almost like a prime deity kind of thing, so that you don't recognize this particular priest himself, but he could just be a sort of quite high up bishop or something. You're not too sure, because you know, like I say, you're not from here.
Yeah, and Mary probably doesn't focus on like current events too much.
No. And again, you don't recognize the half elf who was following behind either, really. But again, like I say, you kind of pick up on the vibe. And that is like, okay, well, she's clearly part of the king's administration or whatever, and is coming along, but yeah.
Okay.
I would say, as the king is making his way inside, one of the fully armored guards does sort of fall in step next to him as a sort of, you know, quite obvious, like, do not mess with the king kind of, like, you know, sort of thing. And mm-hmm. it's sort of gesturing to the crowd to kind of, you know, stay back kind of thing. Is the king himself is, you know, smiling and nodding to people and greeting people that he recognizes as they kind of make their way into the entrance hall. But it does look like the royal party is not stopping for the cocktail party, as they very quickly begin making their way through the sort of stairs up to the VIP area.
I would like to sort of look around and see if anyone's watching him more. I mean, I assume that a lot of people are actually like watching.
Yeah, pretty much everybody is like.
Yeah, but I'm looking to see if anyone is sort of like looking at him sort of critically, like not awed by the king necessarily, just sort of like looking at his entourage.
Hmm. Okay.
I don't know what that would be. I was going to suggest an investigation, but...
I was going to say, I think this would be an insight, because you're kind of gauging people's, like, how people are doing, reacting and that more than anything else.
Okay. I got a 6, so I have 6. No idea.
Yeah, nah, I mean...
Everybody's just sort of awed.
Yeah, you're a little bit awed yourself, and everybody else in here is sort of... You're kind of overwhelmed with this is the closest you've ever been to royalty or anything. And I don't want to say like you kind of forget what you're here for a moment, but like you're a little bit sort of swept up in the "oh, it's the king" kind of feeling of the of the crowd and that and everything, and you're not clocking anybody, you know, looking critically or anything like that.
That's fair.
Not with the 6. Oh, sorry, can't give you that.
Yeah, no, that Miri is not very good at. I mean. I was trying not to metagame, but Miri's not very good at the, like, insight, perception sort of thing.
That's fair.
No, she is good at the persuasion and, like, the deception and stuff.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, as I say, you kind of watch the sort of royal party with like, the one guard in the front and one guard bringing up the rear make their way sort of up the steps. Horace shakes the hand of the king and sort of... is, you know, they sort of share, you can't really hear it over the crowd, but they seem to sort of share a welcoming sort of a warm welcome. As Horace himself had said, the king, you know, he does come here fairly regularly, when they're doing you know, new shows and things. So this is not the first time he's been here, and Horus has clearly rolled out the red carpet from everything. In fact, the carpet is literally red going up to the going up to the VIP corridor. Booga, I would say at this point, yeah, you see the and kind of hear the noises from downstairs, and the royal party is approaching the corridor. What are you doing?
I'm stiffening up, standing straight, not quite to attention, but bracing himself for the passing of royalty, and hoping that he doesn't draw scrutiny. But okay. We'll see.
Okay, so they step into the corridor. You definitely are immediately clocked by the guard, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, no, they notice by the guard. I said it, and I was like, that sounds like the guard walks in and just clocks you in the face. That's not what I'm saying.
I'll give him a little nod, just as kind of like one of those kind of acknowledgements, but then back to position kind of thing.
Okay, yeah. They sort of... the guard, this is, I take it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the guard kind of inclines the head a little bit. This is the Dragonborn. Doesn't say anything to you, but sort of is keeping an eye, and you see the eye rotating as they pass, you know, sort of on the side of their head, kind of keeping an eye on you, kind of as they escort the king and his party past you to the royal box. It's not a long corridor, I will say, you know, so you're able to kind of, you know, they're not taking them around the corner or anything like that, you know, you're able to kind of keep an eye, and the king and his three guests go into the box, and the two guards kind of set themselves up in the corridor outside the box, so they're really quite close to you, I would say. Yeah.
Okay. I think Booga's not sweating, but is going to try and assume the role of the guard as best he can and just stare forward. And if one of them tries to get his attention, then he'll acknowledge them. But otherwise, it's just focus on the mission, keep eyes sort of ahead, seeing if anybody's coming this way.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, they're clearly, they're on guard. They haven't relaxed as they've taken their positions. You're very much picking up I'll give you this even without an insight check. You're very much picking up a very professional kind of air about them. Like, they know what they're doing. This is not like random security that have been just picked up for the night. This is like the royal guard, best of the best kind of. The atmosphere is like, you know, you kind of look at them and go like, oh, okay. I would not want to mess with these people, because
yeah,
they could break every bone in my body before I could blink, kind of thing. You know, that sort of like, oh, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think there's a little part of him that hopes that maybe if somebody walks into the corridor that he fits in at least.
Yeah. They're not saying anything to you at the moment, like I say, but they kind of have clocked you that you're there, but they haven't like moved to go like, hey, you need to get the fuck out of here or anything like that. They're just sort of keeping an eye and the general kind of watchful eye. You also are getting the feeling that this isn't the first time they've been here as guards as well. They're not like scoping the place out like in a way that sort of strikes you as like this is, you know, a new situation for them or anything.
No.
The king, as I say, the king comes to the opera, and this is part of their duties, is guarding the king while he's at the opera, sort of thing. So yeah. But then, and like I say, definitely not letting their guard down. They are professional. And you, as I say, get a look at the armor, and it's very fine. You know, Booga's sort of interest in taste and proper finery in that. I mean, you can see that the armor is extremely well carved and machined, and there's not a blemish on it at all. This is almost like ceremonial kind of, you know, it very much looks practical and, you know, real armor.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, you know, this is some
fancy
finery
stuff.
Yeah.
Well, that's reassuring after a fashion. Yeah. Hopefully they're definitely on side.
Was there anything you'd like to do at this point, or are you just kind of posting
up? I mean,
not really.
I mean, just because, yeah, guarding the position's what I'm there to do. So, yep. Keep an eye. That's the main thing.
All right. Kirik, if you're kind of hanging around sort of near the dressing rooms, then there is, you know, you're kind of, I think, Did you say you would be kind of keeping an eye where Marianne is as well?
Yeah, I think he'd be a little bit closer to Marianne.
Mm-hmm.
So if she's moving, he's also going to be moving. He'll probably be a few steps behind her, though.
Yeah. I mean, she's not come out of her dressing room at this point, but you do actually, as you're kind of stood there for a little, you know, a little bit of time has passed since Booger and Miri have gone off, you do hear the sound of the key turning in Ariane's door. She, you know, the key's on her side, and she sort of sticks her head out and says,
Mr. Kirik, it is approaching showtime. Did you have any news for me?
No, it's been quite quiet, actually, but we've taken up our positions, and I don't know why I'm whispering, but we are, so...
It is very hard to hear you over the hustle and bustle when you whistle like whisper like this.
Okay, everything seems in order, but,
Sorry, I'm just joking.
No news, but it is showtime, so
you can see that she's wearing her costume as well. That was on the kind of mannequin in her dressing room when you went in there earlier. So it appears that your assumption when you were hearing sounds of cloths moving earlier was her actually getting changed. So she's got the prop bow. And this is part of the ensemble kind of thing. You know, she's ready to go on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
The very least you notice this. She's still not leaving her room, but she's, yeah.
What do you want me to do? There's no sign of anybody, but I don't want to miss my cue.
No. Show must go on, I think, so... You go, and I'll be backstage, and we'll go from there.
Okay. I do not get on the stage until the second act. So yes, we still have some time. I will lock myself back in again.
All right. Good idea.
You hear the door closes, and you hear the key turning again. So, a little bit more time passes. Miri, you notice people starting to sort of filter down into the auditorium itself, and the sort of buzz of excitement. Things are about to start. There is a sort of an announcement given in the entrance hall by Horace.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for attending the Varney Royal Opera House. Once again, it's fantastic to see all of you here supporting the arts. If you'd like to begin making your way to your seats, tonight's premiere performance of The Downfall of the Demon will begin in 10 minutes' time. Sort of stands on the stairs and he's kind of smiling at patrons and that as they make their way into the auditorium. As with any kind of theatre thing, there's people dragging their feet. There's some people who immediately go, ooh, and head to the seats. There's people who are still at the bar trying to get drinks. But yes, the general kind of movement of people is into the seats. Booger, you do notice that as this happens, there are a couple of other groups head into the VIP area, head into other boxes. I don't think you would recognize any of them, really, because, I mean, you're, again, much like me, you probably don't really move in these circles. You've got a bit more of an interest in the in one day moving in these circles.
Yeah, I've read a lot about it, but this is the first opportunity, as previously kind of described, I guess.
Yeah.
He'll be studying them on that basis, kind of taking in the nobility in particular and the way that they carry themselves. Now that they've gotten through the crowd and, like, as far as they're concerned, it's all guards now. So, like, do I see faces change or anything like that as they move through and out of that?
No. There's conversations being made between people. Like, there's that sort of bit between people in the groups, but they're not... It's almost like they're ignoring the guards kind of thing, because why would they acknowledge the guards? Mm-hmm. You know, they're the help sort of thing, is the vibe you're picking up.
I think and nothing suspect in these conversations, I take it.
I guess make a perception check.
Okay. 10.
10. Nothing really to, you know, stands out. Again, there's a lot of gossiping going on, and you hear sort of bits of like, oh, did you see Lady So-and-so? I ought to have names, but did you see Lady So-and-so's dress? It's frightful. Things like that. And you hear, of course, I was very, very drunk at the time, and sort of, it's gossip and inconsequential nonsense and rich people stuff. And one guy's talking about he's loudly boasting about his business interests as he goes into someone who looks decidedly unimpressed but is nodding along. And all the stuff that Booger wants to be a part of.
he'll be taking note of all of that. After a fashion, then.
Pulls out a notebook, writes down, talk about business interests, and underlines it.
Yeah. Broad, fairly bad advice to himself, I suppose.
Stocks and bonds.
Find out what stocks and bonds are.
So, Miri, you're still in the entrance hall. There's a crowd is sort of beginning to kind of filter out of the entrance hall into their seats. The older gentleman who you've been sort of talking to, who you'd kind of, I guess, shrugged off when the king had arrived. He sort of appears in front of you in the end. He's got a younger gentleman about, 21, 22. He looks a little bored, but a little kind of excited to be there. And a woman, I guess you'd put her in a sort of mid-40s, again, wearing quite an impressive, long, flowing gown. The older gentleman, says,
Miss, I very much enjoyed our conversation earlier. Would you care to join us in our box for this evening's performance?
Oh, that would be lovely. I'd love to see the show from box.
Okay, good. Yes, this is my grandson, Friedrich.
The young man sort of gives you a nod. Miss?
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter, Penelope.
She's sort of, hello. Sort of looks down at it. She's a little bit more wary of you.
Mira doesn't really care. She just likes the idea of being able to be up high and see everyone.
Yeah.
Well, this way then. And he sort of leads the way, stumping up along on with his walking stick, and
leads you up to the opposite side of the auditorium to the one that Booger is on. And you find yourself in a private box, very similar to the one that you scoped out earlier as the King's box, but you find you have a very good view down into the auditorium, and you can see across from you. You're not quite at exactly the opposite angle to the King's box, but you've got a view. You can see, you know, you can definitely see across to it without kind of having to crane your neck or anything. You can't really see into it. They've got like a side big thing kind of drawn across, but you can, you've got a view of it, at least.
Yeah. Okay.
As you go into the box, there are only three chairs in there, but he turns to one of the opera house attendants.
Bring another chair along for my good friend here. My new friend, I should say.
Well, thank you. Very generous.
Of course, of course.
So yeah, you find yourself with what you think was probably quite an expensive seat that you've somehow managed to get yourself. As you sort of look across the crowd and scan around, you begin to hear the sound of the orchestra beginning to warm up. I think actually all of you could probably hear this from the various places that you've kind of scattered yourselves around the opera house. I think Kirik, you would be the only one being backstage who is party to a brief speech given by... you weren't really introduced to them, but there is a sort of director figure.
We should have talked to him.
Yeah.
But I feel like that, or them, we should have taken the initiative on that one and asked. I just realized that we should have done that. Oh, okay. I'm just going to assume this person was incredibly busy and could not have time for us.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the stage manager was busy. The director was so busy, they didn't even appear in the last episode. That's how busy they were. Yeah, so busy. But yeah, there's a brief speech from the director. which Marianne does come out of her room for and sort of hovers at the back, listening to. But he gives a sort of what's meant to be a kind of rousing speech, which I think would mostly, I think, go over Kerrick's head. There's a lot of references to theatrical stuff, which maybe Kerrick is not used to. Kind of that.
He's going to like nod and clap when everyone else does and like laugh half a beat behind everyone else.
Yeah. But essentially the vibe is like, have a good time out there, but don't fuck up or you're fired. Yeah, it's sort of this
motivational.
Is, yeah, it's not a very, it's not a particularly warm giving director, I guess. Kerrick, you don't really get all this theater stuff, but they all seem enthusiastic about it. Applause from the cast as they're all sort of ready to go, and Marianne is also sort of, as I say, she's stood beside you for this. She says,
"He is always so pompous, but he knows what he's doing."
Should I be taking notes to like encourage my teammates with this, or is this supposed to work?
I probably would not. I do not think much of this would apply to adventuring and such.
Oh, so just the have fun but don't fuck it up part.
Yes, I mean, I think that's fair. That should apply to many things, I think, shouldn't it?
Fair enough.
Okay. At this point, the lights in the auditorium are dimmed as the large chandelier in this that's been hanging over the center of the auditorium is drawn up into a sort of dimming alcove above, and a sort of expectant hush falls over the crowd. There is again a round of applause as the conductor strides out to the front of the stage. Bows to the king, to the crowd, and takes his position at his podium in front of the orchestra. Taps his baton 3 times before raising it and launching the orchestra into the overture of the downfall of the dragon. The show has begun. Alright, that's going to do it for this episode. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time on Thursday the 11th of April with the next chapter of this story, and we hope you'll all join us for that. In the meantime, you can head to pretendingthedice.com for links to all of our online presences, including our social media handles, our Discord server, our Ko-Fi page, and our merch store, alongside much, much more. So yeah, for now, that's our show. We hope you all enjoyed it. We'll see you next time.